Part 29, Chapter 4. Out of the night sky, from the north, rushing far ahead of its sound, seen at first as just another star, a plane approached Kariba. The anti-aircraft gunner intercom sounded. The plane was friendly and requested permission to land. Johnny went to watch it set down. The door opened and somebody jumped out. The face was a white blur in the night. Johnny peered more closely. Bandages. Somebody with his face totally bandaged. A finger pointing at Johnny's beard.
The very thing!
It was Dunaldine. They swatted each other happily. Then Dunaldine pushed Johnny back into better light and looked at him.
The very thing! Somebody cut your beard half off, and mine's burned half off. Make an appointment for me with your barber.
Did you get shot down?
Said Johnny, looking a little anxiously at the swath of bandages on his face.
Oh, now, laddie, don't be insulting. What Bulbar or Draken or Hockner could shoot down the ace of all aces, eh? No, Johnny boy, it was helping fight fire. It's not too bad a burn, but you know, Dr. Allen, never happy unless he swaddled you up like an innocent babe.
How is it up there?
Bad. We got the fire out, but that's all you can say for it. Dwight and Thor are trying to open tunnels, but the rock slides, There's lots of hope, but that's all I can give you. Say, did that small grey man come back here? Is that his ship over there?
Was he at Edinburgh?
Oh, that he was. Went all round bothering everybody, asking questions. Got in everybody's way. And then he seemed to get what he was looking for and went swooshing up to Aberdeen. Almost got himself shot down. He was looking for the king, you know, chief of Clan Fergus.
How is he, the chief?
Well, he's a blader, you know. Doesn't stop bleeding once he's cut. I'm always telling him to stay out of wars. They're unhealthy. Anyway, we found him outside and rushed him to the Aberdeen Hospital, and they gave him transfusions. This small grey man tried to get in to see him, and of course the gillies threw him out. But then Dr. Allen got cornered by him. Seems like this guy...
He indicated the ship, where the lights were flashing.
...has been collecting books and libraries all over the place. He pictographs them, and he got Dr. Allen to tell him what was wrong with the chief... And they looked it up in a lot of old man books. And Dr. Allen found there was a compound called vitamin K that made blood coagulate. And they synthesized some, and what do you know? The bleeding stopped. The chief's recovering. What is this small grey man? A doctor?
No. He's the sector branch manager of the Galactic Bank. I'll tell you more later, but he was up there making sure this planet had a government.
Well... It was a nice thing to do, anyway,
said Dunaldine. Johnny was glad for the chief, but he sure was beginning to feel surrounded by the bankers. He didn't tell Dunaldine they were about to foreclose on them.
You see Stormalong?
Dunaldine shook his head.
Let's get Sir Robert. He's dead to the world in the plane.
And Sir Robert really was dead to the world. Singed and gray-faced, where his skin wasn't blacked with soot. His hands torn, his clothes in burned rags. Sir Robert looked exactly what he was, an old man who had been going through hell for days without rest. They tried to lift and carry him between them, but the old war chief was a very heavy man, especially when dead weight. They got a mine cart and wheeled him into the hospital. Johnny got the nurse up and she examined Sir Robert. He was not injured, except for his hands. She gave him a shot of B-complex, and he never stirred at the punch of the needle. Mr. Tsung and his family were suddenly up and hovering around, and they ran off to get things organized. Shortly, they were giving Sir Robert a bath and trimming the burned areas in his beard and hair so they looked more even. They soon had him in a bed. He had never opened his eyes. Johnny went back to the hospital, where he had left Dunaldine, and found him sitting in a chair, sound asleep, while the nurse changed his face bandages. The burns were not disfiguring. His beard sure was tattered. Johnny stopped the nurse from putting on fresh bandages and called Mr. Tsung's daughter, who came in with her scissors and neatened the Scot by cutting his beard like Johnny's. Johnny had hoped Dunaldine could spell him in ops while he went to look for Stormalong. But Dunaldine was really in no condition to do anything but sleep. Johnny turned him over to the Tsung family, and they gave him a bath and put him to bed. It must be hell in Edinburgh. Johnny got on the radio to Russia. They had had several thousand people stuffed into that old base. Smoke or no smoke, some of them must be functional. There were 250 Chinese there from North China. There were the Siberians and the Sherpas. Tinny got some of her own messages in. The rest of the monks and the Buddhist library, the Chinese library, and such things were safe. She had to run out and tell Chong Wan and Mr. Tsung. Late at night it might be in both Tashkent and Edinburgh, but Johnny started shuffling people. The most vital question now was, where was Stormalong? Where was McAdam? The only thing they ever got out of Luxembourg was a girl saying something that sounded like,
"Je ne comprends pas."
And that sure didn't spell Stormalong or the Scot banker. Was he going to have to handle this foreclosure thing with no help?